So guys, I was hoping to talk about other stuff this week, but that's not going to happen. Because so much has changed since last week's episode, we are going to talk more about coronavirus, but today I'm going to be covering things you can do if you're an hourly employee or an employer, what our family is doing to deal with school closures and schedules, what I'm seeing from companies that is encouraging and uplifting, and just letting the conversation go from there. So let's talk about it.
Hey there, this is Get Legit Law and Shit, and I'm Emily D. Baker, badass lawyer for online business. I've been a licensed attorney for over 15 years, and I'm a former prosecutor. So yeah, I know some shit, and we're gonna talk about the legal shit you need to know. But don't worry, this is not another boring business podcast. So let's get started.
You guys know one of the things I love doing on this podcast is talking about the shit that everybody's talking about. And is there anything else to talk about at the moment? Yes. Love is Blind is amazing. McMillions is captivating. If you're not watching it on HBO, if you don't have HBO, I get it. But maybe do a 30-day free trial, like while you're home with your kids, watch McMillions and then let it go. I don't think it's to the end of the season yet. So maybe give it a week or two and then get HBO on a free trial. If you don't know what I'm talking about, McMillions is about the FBI investigation into fraud underlying the McDonald's Broadway game, not Broadway, Monopoly game. And Broadway was one of the winning pieces, but underlying the Monopoly game. And it's so much fun to watch. They're interviewing one of the main FBI agents, one of the AUSAs, assistant US attorneys, and going through the investigation, and it's really well done. And I love watching it. It reminds me of investigating cases at work, but it's really cheeky. And, you know, it's a serious case, but it's also ridiculous. So it's been really fun. I'm enjoying McMillions. We watched Frozen 2 for the first time because Disney Plus released it months early ahead of schedule on Disney Plus because, you know, we're all sitting around. If any of you have kids that are still going to school, please DM me because it feels like everyone in my circle, all of the schools are closed. It just feels like all of the schools are closed. We are out until at least the middle of April. We'll see. The CDC guidelines on school closures are indicating 8-week closures might be best. So just let that sink in and then, you know, start making your mental shopping list for when grocery shopping's not so insane. Based on that, I mean, I am going to run out of chicken nuggets before I run out of other things. And that thought's terrifying, but we will all get through. Or I would have a stock of chicken nuggets, like real life. I would have a stock of chicken nuggets and my 8-year-old would be like, I'm not eating that anymore. One of those would be the case. If I was stocked up on it, he'd probably stop eating. So I talk about the things that are going on. I am recording this. I am trying to push my recordings, but I also totally respect my editor and don't want to get him things at the super last minute. I love you, Daniel. Thank you. So I'm recording this late in the day on March 15th to get this up for you guys on Wednesday. I know that the news will change before then. As of today, we're seeing states like Ohio start to shut down bars and restaurants. Millennials apparently aren't social distancing. Look, y'all, my dad's also not social distancing, which is super frustrating to me because I'm like, Dad, I know in your brain you don't think you're 75 years old, but you are within the category that everyone says, please socially isolate, not even socially distance. He is in the category of like socially isolate. And he's like, I do what I want. They're not talking about me. That's my Cartman voice, by the way. That's not how my dad sounds, but he's in that I do what I want category. And I'm like, Dad, stay home. He yelled at me last week when I told him to stop going to the gym. And he's like, it's fine. I'll be fine. I'm like, yeah, but you might not though. So could you just listen to me for a minute? Because my kids are paying better attention at the moment than you are. And it's frustrating. And any of you that have parents that are falling within this category, I'm sure you understand when you're like, I'm sorry that I have to tell you what to do right now, but come on, we're not being dramatic. The governor of Ohio in the release where he shut down restaurants and bars was saying that this is similar to an evacuation. And if you wait until it's upon you, It is too late to evacuate. So he's like, we are in stages of evacuation where you need to do it now, because if we wait, it will be too late. So that is something I relate with. In California, we don't evacuate for things like hurricanes, but there are evacuations for fires, and those can be very dynamic. But a lot of the reasons people evacuate is to protect the resources, right? So you evacuate from a forest fire so that firefighters can fight the fire and they're not having to try to go rescue people from their homes and worry about loss of life in addition to fighting the fire. So you're trying to strategize the strain on resources. So you're strategizing, if people evacuate, then we don't have to worry about that dynamic component and we can just focus on this other large dynamic component. And that's what's happening with coronavirus. If we can just get people to stay put and not infect all of the people around them, then we have a chance at pushing all of our resources to the people that are starting to get sick and making sure that our hospitals aren't overwhelmed and that our medical practitioners aren't overwhelmed. In California, they are starting to set up, they're taking homeless out of the homeless encampments and setting them up in makeshift, like they're not tent cities, but kind of. And they're taking over any abandoned hotels and trying to set up places so at least they can have social distance and try to slow the spread in that population, as well as setting up areas near the airports, even though some of the areas near the airports aren't super near the airport, where if people do need to be quarantined coming through major airports, they have somewhere to send them to military bases to send them to quarantine, like all the individuals that got off that cruise ship in Oakland. So I think by the time this airs, you're going to see more states shutting restaurants down to everything but to go. We're going to talk about business response in a few moments, but I wanted to give tips and, I don't know, ideas, I guess, to employees and employers that are going to be affected, because this is absolutely going to be the reality for a lot of people. If we look to Washington State, large restaurant conglomerates shut all their doors and laid off the majority of their staff. And so we can't be open. We don't know when we will be able to be open, and we can't ride this out. And in the restaurant industry, I understand that. So they laid off the majority of their wait staff, and that puts wait staff in an area where they are now insecure with how they're going to pay for things and what have you. In most states, not in most, in all, come on, Emily, get it together. Look, you guys, it's been stressful. So if I misspeak, I will correct myself. States have their website where workers can find resources. In California, that's like the EDD, but other states have similar. All of your state governments are going to have resources posted on their websites for workers who have been laid off. In most states, you, as a worker who's been laid off, if you are laid off or reduced work, you can file for unemployment. Most of the states I have seen are bumping unemployment benefits through faster, so it's not going to take weeks and weeks and weeks to get it. But as part of the states of emergency, they are also community by community or locality by locality trying to suspend necessities from being shut off, electric, water, people being evicted and things like that. So to kind of mind the gap, not to be cheeky, this is all very serious and heavy, and I understand that, but to facilitate that gap period between being laid off and receiving unemployment. If your work is shut down temporarily, you can file for unemployment. If your work is reduced significantly, you can file for unemployment. If you have to quarantine or isolate, you can file for sick benefits in most cases, and most states are extending that. If you are caring for an elderly or at-risk parent, grandparent, child, you can generally apply in most states for paid family medical leave and have that support for you. If you are caring for someone who is immunocompromised, who is recovering from chemo or cancer, you can't really be going to work right now. So there are resources available in all of those situations. Google that. Google paid family leave and your state name. Paid family leave, California. Paid family leave, Georgia. And start looking for those resources and applying for them now before all of this gets more stressful and overwhelming. For employers, I know how hard this is when you are in an impacted industry. travel, hospitality. I imagine this is going to extend into anyone who works in an in-person gym or teaches gymnastics or runs, you know, any kind of kids activity as a source of pay. So things like where we go to archery, you know, where your kids go to dance, all of those things are going to be affected. Negotiate with your bills. Start calling your credit cards and asking for a reduction or a pause of interest. Federally, they're pausing interest on student loans. Talk to your landlord and ask about delaying or mitigating rent if they can. Start having conversations with the bills that you might owe if you have to shut before it becomes a crisis. Because when everybody's calling, it's going to be a mess. I had a flight out last Friday that I was supposed to take. I saw the writing on the wall ahead of this and called Delta. My wait time was 3 hours. They called me back. And I'm so glad that I did, because my flight got taken care of ahead of the crush of people who had waited, because I get how disappointing it is to cancel a trip, but it's just not worth it right now. I've canceled everything until the end of April, and the end of April that I'm supposed to go to doesn't require a flight. And I put on my calendar the date I have to cancel my hotel without penalties. So I have a little time to make that decision, but I did cancel my flights early because I knew that this was going to be a situation that extended and required my trip to be canceled. And this is going to extend if we look at what's happened in other countries. Even countries that have slowed the spread have had impact beyond 1 or 2 weeks. So when you make decisions earlier, you have more opportunity. It's the same if you're an employee and you see the writing on the wall. Talk to your employer honestly and frankly without as much emotion or judgment as you can and be like, are we going to have to do this? And if we are, just, I need to file for benefits now so that you don't get lost in the crush of benefits going into the state. Also, if you are an employee that has been laid off or has had hours significantly reduced, normally I would be like, now's the time for Uber. Y'all, now is not the time to go drive Uber. But even businesses in my area, especially grocery stores and other support industries, are needing to onboard staff very quickly at things like distribution centers and what have you. So there are still opportunities to work. It might not be in your sector for the moment, but if you are concerned about how am I going to pay my bills, even until unemployment comes, there are opportunities to make that happen. There are Facebook groups to teach you how to work virtually. There are opportunities to go work with grocery stores and distributions and things like that. So try to find those opportunities if you can. If you are a caregiver as well, things are going to be more limited, and looking at online opportunities might be your best bet, but also filing for unemployment and what, or the paid family leave if necessary. It's not easy to talk about. It's not easy to talk about with family and friends. Do everything you can to reduce, you know, the monthly strain. Talk to the people who you need to pay, whatever, credit card bills, car insurance, all of those things, and tell them the situation and say, what can you do? I need 2 months. I need 3 months. Then I'm not going to get penalized in fees and interest and all the things. Same with paying taxes. The federal government is putting into place tax delayed. So as we get into tax season next month, look, keep the money you have saved for taxes in savings. Like, don't go spend it unless it is dire, because at some point you're still going to owe that money. But the government is at least saying, hey, we're not going to penalize you on payments just now. So if that is a real consideration and you owe taxes, look into what the federal government is putting in place to allow you to delay that payment if you're in a place where your business or your family is going to be relying on savings in the coming weeks and months. So other businesses that are impacted, let's talk. We're still talking businesses that are impacted. Things like Disney. I mean, Disney parks and cruises are now shut down. They have indicated they're paying cast members through, you know, the end of this month. I applaud Disney for being able to do that. But Disney has a lot of branches of their company where they can use Disney Plus money and movie money and all the other things to cover those expenses. A lot of businesses aren't in that position, but I applaud Disney for doing that. You know, Apple is closing stores and doing some pay for retail employees. Nike is closing all of its stores. Urban Outfitters, things like Walmart are reducing hours. And I'm sure you're seeing this where you live too, where the grocery stores are having to reduce their hours, A, because they're just getting bought through, but B, they need to clean and sanitize high touch surfaces, and they need to restock without people like standing over them trying to pull things out. I can only imagine how overworked the grocery employees are at the moment. And then Starbucks. Starbucks is closing all of the high gathering locations. They are going locality by locality in highly affected areas and closing, probably to keep their associates safe, and switching to like to go only. And all of you are probably like, but Starbucks is to go. Isn't that the point of Starbucks, is that we go and we get the coffee and then we go away? But most Starbucks do still have a sitting area where you can sit and work. I know my group of friends and I, when we were studying for a promotional exam at work, lived practically at Starbucks, where we could just gather and have coffee and drinks and some distraction and space and Wi-Fi. So Starbucks do become mobile offices for people. And they're closing all that down. So you're not going to be able to go work at a Starbucks. You're not going to be able to go hang out at a Starbucks. You're not going to be able to socially distance together at a Starbucks. They're shutting all that down. I also like seeing tech companies are starting to make it easier for people to connect remotely and do work remotely. Google, for all the G Suite users, is extending the level of services available, even if they're outside of whatever price plan you're in. Microsoft has made Teams available for free. Zoom is offering different levels of Zoom for educational institutions so that you can hold online or virtual classes. It's slowing down Zoom a little bit, I'm just going to say, but I love that they're doing it. If you don't use Zoom, it's fantastic. They've extended their 14-day trial to a 30-day trial, so you can give it a whirl, and that's a free option. They also do have a free level plan. So if you just need a way for your kids to like video chat their friends in a large group, Zoom is an easy way to do it. It's like, here's a link, get on your phone, computer, iPad, whatever, and you can be on that call and be together remotely. Scholastic is offering some free online learning. There's lots of companies offering educational resources since so many schools are shut down. And in my area, and I'm sure in yours, local internet companies are making internet available to kids who don't have access to internet so that they still have access to education, because that is a very real problem depending on where you live, that kids don't have internet in the home and they can't go into libraries because all the libraries are closed. So internet companies making that available is admirable. And I generally hate internet companies. You hear me rail about it all the time. So I'm happy to see them doing the right thing. But in this time of watching what businesses are doing and what people are doing, like the NBA players, do we love this? So the NBA season is kind of unknown at this point, but at least shut down through the end of April. And there are NBA players stepping up to support the stadium workers that are now out of work because the stadiums aren't going to be having games. So they're not going to be getting paid. And I find that tremendously admirable that those who can help are helping and helping support financially. Though what I'm frustrated with, give me a moment, is that there are ways all of us can help, and I'm not always seeing it. I'm going to tell you what the governor of Ohio said, because I think it was well put, and he probably had writers, and I don't, and I'm frustrated, so I don't want to stay, as I stumble over my words, I don't want to say stupid shit. But what he said was, we have to act like this is a war because it's a war against this virus. We have to take the politics out of this. This is a time for all of us to pull together. We are in a time of evacuating a hurricane when it's starting to pour. This is not a drill. This is a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic. Everything each of us does matter. He then went on to say, I know how hard this is on small businesses. I have an understanding of this. We are dealing with life and death. People will die if we don't make these tough decisions. And I will link the article from the Springfield News Sun where I saw that report on his press conference from today. But what I'm frustrated with is I see that not everyone is quite grasping that this is a life and death, and that we are putting at-risk populations more at risk, and that everything each one of us does matters. And I think that's a really good way to put it, because what I'm still seeing in my life is people saying, I mean, are we all being overdramatic? I mean, is it overdramatic when there's mandatory evacuations? No. But when people evacuate and then their house doesn't burn down, they're like, did I really need to evacuate? Yes, because it's about the resources and not about the house. So here's what I am hoping we don't see, but anticipating we see. If we do have enough social isolation and people do appropriately self-quarantine when they've been exposed or when they are sick, and people do stay home when they are sick, and things are shut and people can't really go out, that this is not going to get as bad as it could get. And then people are going to be like, see, it was overdramatic and I'm never going to listen again. But the reason it's not getting bad is because of the overdramatic, which isn't overdramatic, it's preparedness. So those conversations I find frustrating, but I realize that when I evaluate this and I look at things, and I've looked at, you know, you look at the differences in how different countries have handled things and how things have gone. And Italy didn't want to impinge on its people's freedom of movements and what have you. And then their healthcare system got completely overwhelmed and they are triaging people and having to make very real life and death decisions. I don't want our medical professionals here to be in that situation. I can't imagine what it would be like for a doctor to have to look at somebody and say, I'm sorry, we could help you if only we had enough supplies, but we don't have enough supplies. And so your life and your recovery is prioritized lower than this other person. So I know we have life-saving measures, but we can't give them to you. We have to give them to somebody else. Those are horrible, horrible decisions. And so these things that are in place now, I see as trying to prevent that, as trying to not get there. You're evacuating to save resources. It's the same thing. We're doing this to save resources for the wave that's coming. And because this thing has a longer incubation period, people, yes, we've, lots of people have probably been exposed who might not get very sick. But the problem is all the exposures are going around and then the wave of people getting sick happens. So that's why we're trying to not expose people. And I see a lot of the I do what I want attitude, even from my father, who doesn't listen to the podcast and who has heard me bitching at him on the phone going, you can't do the things you want to do right now. Stay home. What's wrong with you? And my friends have gotten it over text too. What do you mean? What are you doing? No, traveling right now is not a good idea. What? All this is becoming like politics, where if I want to still like the people in my life, at some point I have to just step back and say, I'm not having this argument with you right now. Because we see this very differently. So that's interesting. I wasn't expecting that. I guess I was just assuming that rational minds would all be on the same page. And I realize rational minds can differ, but I thought with this, we'd all be on the same page. And if I haven't mentioned it enough, I'm an Enneagram 1. I am the like rule follower. So when it's like, the rules are this and everybody's like, but it'll be fine. I struggle. And I am trying not to struggle. Speaking of struggling, I'm going to tell you what our family is doing to deal with this. And hopefully it helps. I always like to know what other people are doing. It's like, what are you doing? How are you handling this? How are you going to homeschool kids? I've never homeschooled kids. Have you ever homeschooled kids? Like, I've never homeschooled kids. I've never been homeschooled. I don't have a plan for this. So we are creating a schedule with our kids. They're 8 and 12. They are old enough to participate in making a schedule. The things we are going to include are movement, lots of it, because if you've ever had kids in the house for an extended period of time, this is weird for Californians, I'm sure, in places where it snows, you're like, yeah, it sucks. Welcome, California. Welcome to what it's like to not have your kids running around outside at school all day because of the weather. So movement, downtime, learning time, tech time. Yes, tech time is part of my plan because mom still has to get some work done, y'all. Meal prepping together. I'm not making lunch. We're all making lunch together. I'm not making dinner. We're all making dinner together. And household duties. Kids, this is laundry. Let's learn about it together. This is how you fold a shirt. We have time to sit here and practice. The things in life that when life gets busy, we don't always have the time to slow down and teach our kids. If you are a busy family and you have two working parents and kids rushing to every activity in the world, it is hard to say to your kid, hey, sit down and fold this laundry right now because it's going to take three times longer than if you just do it yourself and put it away. We all aren't rushing anywhere. Kids' activities in most instances have been canceled. I'm home. you know, there's only so much I can do. My kids are home, I'm home. So even though I work from home, I am home. So there's time. I get to choose to take the time, but really there's time. I'm not going to try to replicate what their school day looks like. I am going to try to get learning in like 45 minute increments, maybe less for my 8-year-old, and make sure that we are doing the reading, writing, art, and math. We're going to do some science stuff. We're going to watch some documentaries. We're going to do some of the free museum tours that are online. We are going to go through all of the books in our house and decide what we haven't read and read them. Those are the kinds of things we're going to do. But that schedule, I am not going to say your school day is from this time to this time, and I'm going to make our school day at home that time to that time. I don't think they need it when it's one-on-one time, because that time that they're accounted for at school is group time. So I'm shortening the time. It's going to be fine. I feel bad though for, like, I didn't really consider this until a few days ago, but all the high school seniors, like all of the spring sports seasons that aren't happening, all of the, like, it's my senior year and it's my last time to play this sport with my friends, proms. I know it's right getting into prom season. Graduations, I imagine, aren't going to necessarily happen. College graduations that aren't going to happen. Like, talk about a letdown of an experience. And when people are like, I don't want to cancel my vacation, I'm like, right. And seniors in high school and college don't want to cancel their life and things that they've been looking forward to, but they don't have a choice. Like, they're not getting to pick that. So there's a reason we're doing all these things that are hugely disappointing, and we can all do our part, right? But I didn't even think about that. Like, I would have been so sad to miss senior prom. I would have been really sad to miss my senior swim season with my friends. All of those things that feel like such milestones that you look forward to at that age. And when you're 17, 18 years old, things feel so big anyway. This feels like a big thing, like the kind of thing that you talk about later in your 30s and 40s, you know, like me, and go, remember the year we all missed senior prom? That sucked. So I feel sad for that too. There is a lot of impact, and it's not just impact of the big staggering things, people worried about losing housing, people that are food insecure. All of those very, very big, heavy things are very real. But also for 17-year-olds, missing senior prom feels very big and very heavy and very real as well. And though it might not seem in the whole scope of things as serious, in their world it is. And in their world, it's horribly disappointing. And managing disappointment is something that we are working on as a family. Because I got to be honest, I'm really bummed that we canceled our spring break trip. I know it's the right thing to do. I'm disappointed. I've been looking forward to it. So managing disappointment is real over here too, and without like wallowing in it. Other things we are managing or looking at is wellness practices. Like, hey, what's ideal for our family? Because now we have time to pause and think about it. Great sleep. And I know sometimes it's tempting when kids are out of school to just be like, screw it, go to bed whenever you want. We are maintaining a schedule on that. We do lots of extra vitamin D at our house because it's such a cornerstone to not only good sleep, but immunity. For our kids and for us, because I've mentioned my husband's a sleep doctor. This is one of the things. He's like, everyone needs more vitamin D. So we're making sure that's happening. And we're also creating space in the morning for meditation and quiet reflection time and gratitude, but also space for thought and creativity and space away from the news cycle and social media. And I get pulled into this too, where when I feel stressed, I want to connect and see what's going on elsewhere. You know, you want to see what's coming. And so maybe if I see another Facebook post of somebody in Washington and what they're doing and how they're responding, maybe I can just see it all and like make a plan when it feels like there's no plan. But it's also not healthy for me. Like, I get sucked way too down into it. So I'm making reasonable distance from social media and the news that works well for me. And I encourage you to do the same. And if you have kids on social media, encourage them to do the same. We are going to be doing more puzzles and game nights and gaming. We are going to be playing Mario Kart and deciding what movies we want to watch as a family and really trying to embrace this as an opportunity to live a little slower. We're not going to be rushing to activities. We're not going to be rushing to get out the door in the morning. We have an opportunity. And I realize that that is a blessed opportunity because I can work from home and I'm used to working from home. So it's not, I mean, I'm going to say it is a little stressful having my kids home full time because I'm not used to that. But I trust myself to manage the two and I'm going to become more efficient in my work as well. There might not be as many blog posts from me, but we're going to have a podcast. We're going to get client work done and we're going to keep moving forward. So creating space and allowing there to just be downtime and being comfortable with downtime, because modern life doesn't have a lot of downtime. And I think a lot of us aren't comfortable with downtime and we fill it in. We fill it in with phone. We fill it in with social media. So if you haven't read the book Digital Minimalism or the book Rest, both of those are tremendously helpful resources for me that I am going to be revisiting. But both of them help you create space and distance in a way that feels good versus, well, shouldn't I be doing this? And shouldn't I be doing this? And aren't I being lazy? And I should be doing more. And how can I do more? I think right now less is more. And I think that that's from the social distancing and, you know, asking our seniors to self-isolate and closing down bars and restaurants, we are being encouraged to do less and be home and make it like hoogly and just be cozy and be with our families and slow down and practice compassion and kindness for others, practice patience in the way we talk to one another, practice patience with ourselves and with our partners, practice patience for those of you who are living with roommates, with your roommates, because we're all going to be spending more time together than we're used to. And that can be hard too. So give yourself grace, give yourself space, take space from social when you need it, create something, make a list of stuff you want to do that's not just work stuff. If you wanted to write a book, there's kind of no excuse if you're being forced to be at home. Use your commute time to do it, right? So those are our tips kind of from the trenches here. I'm going to be talking about this more and being live more frequently in the Get Legit Facebook community. So if you want to join us there, I'm going to have information on how to do that in a minute. I'm still processing this too, you guys, and I'm here to process it with you and tell you what's working for us or what's not working for us. And that's going to be discussed in the Facebook community. I appreciate you hanging with me this week. We'll see what comes up next week, won't we? It's an ever-changing situation, you guys. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your families. Give yourself grace, space, and patience. And I will talk to you next week. Thank you so much for listening. I know what it's like to find a podcast you connect with, and then you want to talk about it, and you want to talk about the things you've heard, and you want to chat with other people and hear their opinion. And sometimes that's not the people that are around you. I mean, you can always tell them to listen. But I've created a community for us to keep those conversations going, for me to answer your questions and to share some behind the scenes and exclusive content and maybe some deeper takes on the stories as we talk about them. So if you want to join that conversation with the Get Legit community, come on over to www.getlegitlive. I'd love to see you there. So come on by, say hello, and join the conversation.